as we've been able to worship. Now as we turn to your word, I pray you open our hearts and our minds to you. Guide us, Father, as we jump into this passage, really just a small portion of a bigger a dialogue by David, but it's an important one for all of us in the world we're living in right now. No matter what we may be facing, the struggles, the upheavals, the fears, the anxieties, all of those things are addressed in Scripture. And so, Father, I pray you would take us and open our hearts and our minds to you today. I pray for that lost person that may be here or watching this at home or listening sometime this week on our podcast. That, Father, they would hear this morning the fact that they should not fear once they come to know Jesus because of what he did on the cross. He is the answer to all of our fears and anxiety. So God, bless us as we look at this today. Pray that you would be honored and glorified. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 and then kind of read through that. Then we'll come back and focus a little bit on what he says in verse 1. As many of you realize, this is a psalm. It's a psalm of David. And David is writing this, again, we don't have a lot of context, but David is writing this during a time of upheaval. In fact, the entire psalm, all of these verses, going all the way down to verse 14. Now, we're not going to spend our time looking beyond verse 3, but David is addressing fear and anxiety. Now, we know that David struggled with all kinds of fears. He struggled with all kinds of fears from his enemies. He struggled in his fear of God's judgment. He struggled, I think, in some sense, his fear of himself and his failures. And certainly sometimes the people that we see that he encounters, he struggled in many different ways. And sometimes those struggles turned into fears. And one of the things that we learn, not just in Scripture, but just by observing life, pretty much all of fears sometimes lead to anxieties. You could reverse that and say this, that anxiety is oftentimes based on a fear that we have. And so no matter what the fear, no matter how it may translate into an anxiety, as we learn in this passage today as well in other places in Scripture, that we should not fear. It's not God's desire for us to live in fear. In fact, in these three verses, he'll say it three different times. He does it in a little bit different way, but he's essentially saying that because of who he is and what he has done and what he is capable of, that's his power, his authority, his wisdom, his understanding, his plan, then we should not live in fear. Now, this is, I think, an important message during the time that we're living in right now. We have an election coming that is, in some sense, probably one of the most important elections of our lifetime. Now, we say that every time we hit this four-year mark. But for some, this time, this election cycle has created a lot of fear. It's created a lot of anxiety of the what-ifs. And one of the things that I've been saying really all during the summer and leading up into the early fall and up until, and I'm going to say it again here, is that no matter what happens in, what, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, that we shouldn't fear because God is on his throne. The anxieties that come with the possibility of our candidate losing should not create in some sense a fear that keeps us from losing sight of who God is and what he's capable of. And no matter what happens, he will still be on his throne. He will still be God, and he still has purpose and meaning and a mission for us as individuals as well as a church. So this morning, join with me as we read through this. I'm going to start in verse 1, as you'll see it on the screen, and then we'll walk our way down to verse 3. I'll make some comment, as I typically do, and then as I've said, we're going to come back and look at really verse 1, but we'll focus on three simple ways that fear is dangerous, really, for the believer. Let's start in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, David's laying out here not just the sense that God is the Savior. Now, for you and I, we understand that salvation through Jesus. David would have seen it differently than that, but nonetheless, God was the Savior. But then he says, before the salvation part, he talks about light. Listen, that's an important marker, because what David is acknowledging is that God is his guide. That reference to light is really the literal sense of God is lighting my path. He is illuminating what's ahead of me. And though I can't see too far in the distance, I know what I see in front of me, and He's allowing me to see that. And then in the final part of verse, that first part of verse 1, He says this, "So why should I be afraid?" It's a question David's asking of himself, but it's the same question the Lord's asking us even this morning. If God is our light, if He is our salvation, and then he goes on and he talks about him being the fortress and being the protection in the manner of danger, he tells us, why should we be afraid? And that's where it picks up. He goes on and he says this, "The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" That's another way essentially of just saying fear or being afraid. Then in verse 2, he continues and really kind of develops a little bit deeper some of the things that he says in verse 1. Don't miss this. "When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall." Why is that? Because of God. Now, we may not see them fall or stumble in the sense that we understand it, but God ultimately will avenge any of those attacks against us, if not presently, then certainly on the day of judgment. And then he goes on into verse 3, "Though a mighty army surrounds me," now this is common for David. He would have faced all kinds of threats from foreign armies, we know that. But he goes on, "My heart will not be afraid." It's almost, did you catch this? In the beginning, David's asking the questions, and now at the end in verse 3 of this part, he now is making a declaration, "My heart will not be afraid." So he's asking, should I be afraid? And now, it's almost emphatically, he is saying, I am not going to be afraid. Why is that? Because of the things that he's reminded us of. That God is his fortress. God is his light. God is his salvation. God is protecting him. His enemies and foes will attack. They'll stumble and fall. Though mighty armies may surround him, he will not be afraid. And then the last part of verse 3, "Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident." In other words, confident in what? God. And all of what we've just seen structured here in David's words. Now, we're going to leave off there. It continues, and it just continues to kind of develop this idea all the way down, as I've said, to verse 14. But we're going to come back and focus on three things this morning that will help us to understand the danger of fear and why we as believers need to make sure that we're not falling into that trap of fear, or as I said a little bit earlier, anxiety. The first one you'll see on the screen is this, and this is dangers of fear for believers, or the dangers that fear brings into our lives as believers. Number one is this, it distracts us. Now, what does that mean? Well, when we talk about David, David, it seems, is sort of on a roller coaster ride in his life. Sometimes he is rightly focused on God and he is glorifying God. At other times, David falls for different distractions. Some of those come as a result of fear. But fear will always, in our lives, distract us from who God is. His identity, what he wants in our lives, the object that he has for our mission and purpose. Fear always will lead to that distraction. And that's one of the victories the enemy will find. If he can get us afraid of something, then we take our eyes off of God. The bravery leaves us. The ability, as David has said here, not to be afraid, to be confident, as he says in the last part of verse 3. And what happens is we now begin to focus on whatever that distraction is. Now, this last week, if you were here, we talked about that. And we talked about distractions and how those often are used to take our eyes off of the Lord. And now we begin to look at whatever that distraction is. Fear will often cause that. And most of the time the fears are baseless. It's fear of the what ifs. What if this doesn't happen? Or what if that happens? What if this begins to take place? And all of those what ifs now begin to serve as distractions. And at the core of them, it's a fear of something. And as we've said, that fear then leads into some kind of anxiety that now that we can't let go of because we can't deal with that fear. The distraction is one of the things that happens. And so we've got to, no matter what's going on, the fact is that if we are listening to this passage and what it is saying and gleaming from it the truth, then we understand that if we're focused on God and reminded of who He is, then we shouldn't fear. Therefore, we won't find those distractions. Or when we see them, we don't let them take us away. We don't lose sight of God. Listen, distractions are part of life. There's no question about that. They're going to happen. The enemy's going to bring those. And the reality is they only become a problem when they begin to lead us away. And they begin to interrupt us. And they begin to do things that keep us from being able to ultimately trust Him. And that's all of what David is trying to arrive at is, I should have enough trust in God that I can lay everything down before Him, no matter what those things are, and trust Him with those things, and then not live in a state of fear. So distraction, that's one danger, if you will, of fear that now encapsulates a believer. Number two is this. You'll see it on the screen. It delays us. It not only distracts us, but fear now begins to delay us. What does that mean? It's the growth and the transformation and the experience of full joy that God wants for us. In other words, the fullness of our faith almost gets put on hold when we're given to fear, when we allow that fear to begin to take over us. And it not only distracts us, but it now sort of encumbers us. It's like weighting us down and keeping us from being able to move forward and be and do what God wants us to do. God is always trying to change us and grow us into what? The likeness that He's planned for us, that blueprint that we often talk about. God has put a blueprint together of what He wants you to be and do. And so when we're not doing that, then we're interrupting that growth. We're interrupting that transformation. Now, something we need to understand here is that God oftentimes will use struggles and tribulations in our lives and the things that we go through and the ups and downs of life. God will sometimes use those not to pause our growth, but to now become a place of growth. And sometimes that even includes fears and the things that we've struggled with and the things that we have found that kind of have debilitated us and we fixated on those. God will always use that to grow us through that so that the next time that those fears now begin to creep up, we can see through those because we've experienced those with God and we've seen what He's done to those. And so we can grow through sometimes the adversity. And I think that's where our churches are today in America. With all of the chaos, I read an article this week that talked about how when they did a survey that so many Americans were wishing to go back to the time of, say, 10 years ago. Maybe 9 years ago in the 2015 range or somewhere around 2011 where things seemed to be so easy. Well, when we were living during that time, we didn't think that. We thought things were in upheaval and weren't great. But it's as we've progressed along, we've begun to see what the enemy is doing in our country and in our culture. And now things that looked like would never happen have now begun to transpire. In our world, our country, it seems, has erupted in greater amounts of chaos than we probably could have ever imagined some 9 or 10 years ago. But yet there's a lot of fear that can go with that, and there's a lot of uncertainty, but we can grow through that. And so that's what I think the church, in spite of all of the things that we're seeing, nothing that's happening in this world right now should shock us or surprise us. Why is that? God has been very clear in His Word that times will get a lot worse for us as believers leading up to the time of the return of Jesus. And so there should be no surprise. The world is getting worse because we're getting closer to the time of Christ returning. And with that, we know, according to Scripture, that certain things will begin to happen. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen tomorrow, but I do know we're in a downgrade. We're in a decline. And so certainly what's happening, it almost seems, is a fulfillment of those prophecies. But that doesn't mean that God's wanting us to give up and lose sight and fall into the despair of fear and anxiety and no longer trust Him. We should be growing through that. And this adversity right now is going to prepare us for when it's even worse. And the way that we handle these times now and the way that we navigate, no matter what happens in 2.5 weeks, we continue to be the church and the believers that God has called us to be, regardless of what we see happening in the world. He's called us for such a time as this to be in this world, living and being what he's called us to be. Sometimes we refer to it as this, being the salt and the light. So we've said that dangers of fear is that it distracts us, it delays us. And then number three, and allow me to kind of dip into this one without getting too far into it. But the third one is this, it destroys us. If you've ever watched a friend or a loved one who has been taken over by fear or anxieties, it not just distraction, it's not just a delay in their spiritual growth, but it now begins to be like a cancer, it destroys their functionality. And it can become so debilitating that they can't function anymore. And of course, that's an extreme example, but ultimately fear, as the enemy would like for it to be, it begins to destroy us. It destroys what God is doing in our life. It destroys and disrupts, as we've said, and it distracts, but it ultimately destroys all of what God wants. And so those fears have that ability to now begin to create victory for the enemy. And that's why I think, as David is saying here, from the onset, we need to identify what those things are. We need to be focused on God in these times. We need to make sure that we're anchored into the truths of His Word, not letting up from that. More now than ever, we should be hungering and thirsting for His Word and gleaming from it the truths and spending time in worship in His presence and certainly praying about all of the things that we see ourselves facing. Now your fear may not be of what's happening in our country. Your fear may be of a medical decision you got to make, or a financial situation, or a loved one that there's a strained relationship with. It could be any number of things that could be something that Satan is now begin to bring into your life to create that fear that now begins to lead to the three things that we've talked about today: distractions, delay in our growth, and ultimately destruction. But listen, one of the great news that we learn out of Scripture and certainly in this series of verses in Psalm 27 is that God is greater than any of those things. He's greater than what's going to happen in this election in 2.5 weeks. He's greater than any medical ailment or sickness that you face. He's greater than any relational struggle that you have in your marriage or in your family. He is greater than any of the financial struggles that you may be facing. He is greater than any of those things that we would face that would cause fear. His desire is for us not to be focused on those things, but to be focused on Him and let Him do His work through those things. And maybe in that, grow us and help us to find victory in Him despite the fact that things sometimes don't go the way we want them to be. God is God even in the good times, but certainly He is God in the bad times, the times of struggle. And so I think as we look at a passage like this, it's meant to be an encouragement, but at the same time, it's meant to be, I think, somewhat of a challenge. And it's one of those that we can sit here and we can agree with it. We can say amen. But the real test comes when those struggles begin to creep up tomorrow or later next week. How will you handle those? How will we approach those? How will we allow God to work through those things and be what He desires to be in our lives? Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for just the blessing of being able to gather and to be able to worship, to spend time now in Your Word. And I pray as we've looked at this passage, I go back to the believer, and I think it's pretty clear, not just here, but in other places in Scripture, that it is not Your desire that we live in fear. And if we're not living in fear, then that then means that we shouldn't be suffering in different areas of anxiety. Because if we're ultimately letting You be God and trusting You, then we have given over those fears to You. We trust You. And now we're allowing You to live through us and take care of those things. As David says in this passage, You are our light and our salvation. God, I pray for us as believers that we can not just hold on to those when it's convenient, but that becomes the very core of our beliefs as we navigate some of the difficult times. Now, Father, I also pray for the lost person this morning. I mean, as a lost person, I remember there are all kinds of fears, the what-ifs and the uncertainties. And frankly, I don't even remember what it must have been like to live without Christ in my life with the confidence that comes with that. And that doesn't mean that I don't sometimes suffer fear. But the reality is, as a believer, we don't have to fear what happens when we die or where we're going to go. The promise in Scripture is very clear. We're going to be in eternity with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For the lost person, there's no certainty. In fact, it's very clear they won't be in paradise, in heaven, as we call it. So that sometimes creates a lot of fear. Listen, the answer and the only answer to that is Jesus and what he did on the cross. He went to the cross to die for us, Father, to allow us to be able to be forgiven of our sin and now to be renewed and live a new life in a personal relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And so I pray for that lost person this morning who may have been struggling with this decision, may have come close to making this decision, and here they are today, wherever they are, and they're coming to terms with that. Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. And so my prayer for them, that as we have our time of invitation, that they would come down, share that with me, and we can put them with somebody that can maybe further develop how they can come to know Christ, answer questions and whatnot. If they're not here, then I pray that they would call somebody that they know who is a believer or reach out to us here in the church. But it's important that they begin to pursue that and find somebody who's a believer that can now begin to help them to understand that decision. Now, Father, whatever decisions need to be made, this time is yours, and we pray that you would guide us. We pray all of these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.